It's Tuesday, May 8th, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is a special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Coming up, government-sponsored terror caught red-handed.
Tonight, the only eyewitness to Breitbart's death disappears. Following the suspected arsenic poisoning of a forensic technician in the Los Angeles County's coroner's office, the only eyewitness to Andrew Breitbart's death has now vanished. Then, the feds raid a domestic terrorist camp in Florida, and the hate crime suspects appear to have been produced by central casting at the FBI. Plus, the TSA releases video of pat-down confrontation with Congressman Ron Paul's inspiring speech from the Texas State Capitol. An investigative reporter, Wayne Madsen, weighs in on the latest mutant seafood now being found in the Gulf of Mexico as a result of the BP oil spill. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News. And now, from the Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us. Tonight we have more confirmation on top of the mountain of evidence that most terror worldwide in the last 30 years or so has been provocateured or staged. Now, you know the Gulf of Tonkin was staged to get us into Vietnam in 64. That's been declassified. And Operation Ajax, the U.S. and British governments used radical Muslim extremists to overthrow the government of Iran while claiming they were actually fighting those groups. This is done over and over again. You know Al-Qaeda and the Taliban was created by the CIA, working with the Pakistanis, the Israelis, and Brits. All of this is on record, but we learn it decades later. Back with the 7/7 bombings six, 7 years ago, it came out on Fox News. Look this up. They had FBI agents that went public and reported. And I'm about to get to the new news, but I'll give you some background here. And reported on the fact that a SWAT, the leader of the 7/7 bombing, was a MI6 asset. And there's our original article with a link to the Fox News video, terror expert, and it goes over the entire report. There's Fox News with FBI agent Loftus breaking it down. It was also in the London Independent. Okay, continuing with this information, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Watson has the news breaking at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. This just happened yesterday, and we told you, underwear bomber 2, but instead of just setting up a patsy, they just say, we don't know who he is or where he is, but we found some underwear with a firecracker, so give it all your rights up, and Obama's going to save you. Well, now, Al-Qaeda bomber was a CIA informant, PrisonPlanet.com. But wait, here's the Huffington Post and the Associated Press are reporting, Al-Qaeda bomb plot, would-be bomber, was CIA informant. And it just goes on from there. We're told naked body scanners, TSA on the streets. But what happened two Christmases ago? The Christmas Day bomber, Mutalib, we had the eyewitnesses on first. Kurt Haskell and his wife saw the U.S. government getting him on the plane without a passport. A month and a half later, questioned in Congress, the Undersecretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, admitted an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency told us to get him a visa and get him on that aircraft without a passport. Boom, that was staged. 7/7, boom, commanded and run by an MI6 operative. On record, the guys that were part of it thought they were part of a drill. They were anti-Muslim extremists, and they were blown up on the trains and those buses, or that bus. And the government was running a drill, the exact targets being attacked at the same time. That's Peter Powers, the head of Visor Consultancy, admitting that on ITN and BBC. Look it up. And it gets worse. 5 years ago, members of SAS assigned to MI6 in Iraq dressed up like Wahhabis killing Shiites to get sectarian warfare going on between the two groups. I could keep giving you examples. These aren't theories. These are facts. So now they just say, hey, we had a threat of a deadly firecracker, give all your rights up. But instead of having some drugged up patsy like Mutalib, you know, drugged, rolling him onto the plane, who actually thinks he's part of Al-Qaeda, they just make up this new guy and say, oh, my gosh, it's so sophisticated, it's so deadly, it's so evil. Of course, they were reporting yesterday, U.S. thinks underwear bomber built bomb with Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Oh, my gosh. U.S. sends airport security guy to other countries. Yeah, buy the naked body scanners to keep you safe. The new domestic police state arms race. All of this, absolute pure bull. We never see modern cases of where these hyped up terror attacks weren't provocateured or purely absolutely staged. We know that the so-called hijackers of 9/11 were trained at U.S. military bases. That was even in AP Newsweek. But we're supposed to ignore all that information. They were just people taking part in a drill, just like the 7-7 patsy. So here it is. AP, Al-Qaeda bomb plot, would-be bomber was CIA informant. Associated Press. Oh, but they say it was a double agent. Oh, that's how they spin it. Just like the troops have to grow the opium to fight Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And they got to rape children in Abu Ghraib in front of their parents to fight Al-Qaeda. Well, I mean, I'd be for Al-Qaeda above raping children. And, of course, Al-Qaeda's CIA, so that would be raping children anyway, so I wouldn't join that. I mean, this is staged. It's a global corporate empire who needs to act like it's under attack so it can take your liberties and give itself trillions of dollars in tax money a year just in the U.S. alone, $3 or $4 trillion worldwide, in the name of keeping us safe. You know, the Olympics with missiles around it for Al-Qaeda's Air Force. This is a pipe dream. The globalists think you're so dumb. All their propaganda is designed for people not paying attention. Remember, Al-Qaeda flies its flag over Libya and is exterminating blacks by the tens of thousands right now. Totally racist. Remember, Al-Qaeda is being used to attack Syria. No fan of Assad, but compared to Al-Qaeda, he's a great guy. They're blowing up police stations and being called freedom fighters. It's in the news that Al-Qaeda is the good guy now, and we're supposed to segue to the domestic extremist, that is, people that want liberty. Unbelievable information unfolding in front of us. But wait, a final piece of news in this spectrum of information we're breaking down here that's only the tip of the iceberg. You see, the regular teleprompter news is some bimbo reading off a teleprompter what the globalists wrote in the central CBS broadcast center for all the major networks by private PR firms and the CIA and foreign governments and others. Here, it's full-spectrum analysis, and we're even taking mainstream news where they have to admit this stuff and laying it out to connect the dots for you. Here is the London Telegraph today, U.S. secretly releasing Taliban prisoners from Bagram Air Base. Same thing at Camp X-Ray in Gitmo. Same thing at Abu Ghraib in Iraq, not just in Afghanistan. This is what they do. They get people in these re-education camps to find out who can be operatives to go out and pose as synthetic artificial terror. If you want to invade countries, you've got to create the synthetic threat. If you want to take liberties, you've got to create the synthetic threat to take the projection of the bad guy so you can play the part of the good guy, when in truth, the New World Order is controlling both sides of it. You understand that? This is what they're doing. So there it is. America has secretly been releasing high-level Taliban prisoners from a top-security military prison as part of negotiations with insurgents. Folks, the only insurgents they're fighting is opium farmers that don't want to get a lower price. It's a bunch of tribalists in Afghanistan who've always been killing each other. That's why Alexander the Great couldn't beat them. The Romans, the Persians, the Brits. No one can beat them because they don't have a culture or society that's centralized. They're cavemen. It's beyond medieval. No one can conquer them because the guy over the next hill hates his cousin down the road. This is beyond Appalachian hillbillies to the power of infinity. So the globalists are there to get the $500 billion a year in opium. That's all that's happening. Okay, As we told you yesterday, this is staged, had all the earmarks. When they came out and said, oh, can't have bin Laden, he's in the ocean. Oh, who's this guy? We don't know. We found some underwear with a firecracker in them. Now, America, fall to your knees. We have an M-80. And the Republic just goes, take my rights, grope my wife and daughters. I'm so afraid of a guy with a turban and with an M-80 in his underwear. And now he's CIA. And because that leaks out and now there's congressional investigation calls, what do they say? He was a double agent. Even after they said that about a SWAT in the 7-7 bombings, it came out he could fly in and out of the country and was being protected. They're not double agents. They're agents of the megabanks playing the West off against Islam. Every time people in Islamist countries try to build societies and civilizations, which they're very capable of, the globalists send in a bunch of jihadis to blow the hell out of the capital. Okay? Okay? That's been the plan. It's been the plan since the end of World War II. The Brits used the plan with Lawrence of Arabia before that, 50-something years. Look into history. Learn about it. Get informed. All this propaganda is designed as if you're an idiot. It's designed for people halfway paying attention. Gee, Marge, they protect us from another one of them radical, evil sand people. Yeah, well, that's all right, because TSA is going to grope you tonight, honey, and that'll keep you safe. But the border's wide open. All right, that's it for this area of the report. Get this video and the information by Paul Watson at InfoWars.com out to everybody. Okay, moving right along. You've seen the problem, the synthetic made-up terrorist. Now let's look at the solution. TSA releases video of pat-down confrontation with congressmen. Footage shows Texas representative to Congress swatting screener's hand away. He says they single him out. They crush his genitals. Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul have complained about this. People don't like having men grab their genitals. And even if that's your persuasion, you don't like it. I mean, I wouldn't like some woman walking to me and grabbing my genitals in a shopping mall. I get really mad. I mean, that's creepy. Again, Congressman Canseco breaks all of this down, and the TSA says he's evil. And now when he flies, every time they just swarm him. And in the news report that we have linked to the article, they admit now, and they show the surveillance footage. When he walks up, they swarm in, buck up, and they go, look, doesn't matter if you're elected. We rule here. This is our house. Freedom and the Republic ends when you enter the center of our web. So get ready, pal. You get ready, punk. All right, let's continue with the TSA. You've seen the problem. Now the reaction's police state. Diabetic girl, $10,000 insulin pump ruined by radiation from TSA body scanner. Why does the girl have diabetes? Well, she was probably fed sugar-filled formula at birth. Agents then demand pat-down, because they like it, to make sure the fruit juice insulin was not an explosive. All about training you that you're a criminal, that you're a prisoner, that you're evil. It's prisoner induction slave camp training. And finally, in the federal takeover news, because the TSA admits it's now in shopping malls, street corners, your genitals are theirs. I mean, it's just an act of submission. Imagine, the Nazis just wanted your papers. The TSA wants to grope your daughter's breast. They now have rap videos coming out where women have lesbian love together, and it's really sexy and fun. The TSA grabs you. It's fun. It's cool. This is the ultimate in trashiness. And this is being put out by rapper Sean Paul, just totally mindless for the totally dumbed-down, brain-dead population out there. Very disgusting article at InfoWars.com. Rap video glorifies TSA groping is sexy pat-down fantasy. The headline I would have is rap video glorifies TSA sexual assault. And look at that supposed perv in the video getting off on the sexy model. And he just, and that's actually how they act. The TSA screener I had in Las Vegas was like smacking his lips and literally could not believe the power he was having. Because he couldn't do this in a park. And there's guys that like to do that. He'd go to jail or people might shoot him. But here, hey, you want to get on your plane? Your testicles are mine. Land of the testicle squeeze, home of the coward, huh? I told you, the new American flag, I want our graphics guys to make it, is just, you've seen that weird thing where they have like chrome testicles hanging off cars now? We have that in Texas. I don't know if you've seen it, folks. It's like the weird long cowboy boots, but you just have that in the blue field and just a hand, and then the stripes are just TSA, TSA. Because, I mean, we ought to embrace our new country. Land of the pot-bellied pervert grabbing her wife and children. There you go. whatever their fancy is. They just, oh, they like kids. They drag them out. The kids are crying. Get back, family. Get back. Get back. This is my, what was I told? This is my administrative privilege. When they tell Marcos, the Austin airport, they said, it's time for the pleasure, and pop the glove. You got to mix pleasure with business. Pop. They got the shows out telling you how great it is. There you go. Okay, enough of that brainwashing. Let's move on. You know, they're segueing us from Al-Qaeda, who openly works for the foreign banks, to the domestic extremists. So we'll get a bunch of unsavory idiots with tattoos on their faces who are probably all related to each other. The daughter's the mother there. And they're hiding out in a camp for the end of the world and the war with the Mexicans or whatever. And the feds swoop in and say they had rifles and were training for hand combat. They're terrorists. Away to the FEMA camp with them. I mean, look at that woman. She probably literally count to five. I'm sorry. Anyways, continuing here with the news. Don't worry, though. It's in Florida, where they admit the leader of the white supremacist group as a federal agent, just like Hal Turner. The group figures prominently as a homeland security model for assessing U.S. domestic threats and is described by the ADL. That's Farah Massad, as a racist skinhead group that is active in several states around the country. Oh, the Southern Poverty Law Center has actually led these groups along with the FBI. Maybe they could tell us. Oh, I told you for 10 years, Hal Turner, Sean Hannity's former producer, was a FBI agent. Good old Hal Turner. Of course, people hacked his email, and it was discovered he was a high-level national security asset. So then they burned him and put him in jail because he threatened state judges. And it came out, the feds came and defended him in court and said, he is one of our people. Didn't matter. They still sent him to jail for threatening judges. FBI operative Hal Turner says government urged him to make violent statements, and he has the documents to prove it. Hal Turner admits he worked for the FBI. Hal Turner paid by FBI to make racist threatening comments so they can then connect it to, hey, I don't want the UN taking my land. Well, you hate black people. Hey, I don't want to be under Agenda 21. Oh, you don't like Hispanics. Hey, I don't want government-run health care. What was the MSNBC talking point for years? If you don't like government-run health care written by insurance companies, then you are a racist. This is how they operate. So these guys were so stupid they didn't know that at any white supremacist camp, roughly, this come out in government documents, half the people are informants or agents, and they almost always lead them. Just like in the Mexican supremacist groups, the black supremacist groups. But the difference is with the black supremacists there in Florida, it came out last month, in the Trayvon Martin case. Oh, by the way, they're calling for now a big gun restriction with that and an end to concealed carry because the feds are moving to try to block states' funding if they go with that. So, but the point is, turn out the feds had people implanted with the black groups protesting, calling for violence, advocating it to get a race war going, just like NBC edited the tape of Zimmerman saying he didn't like black people or whatever. Shifting gears away from that Fed patsy they flushed down the old New World Order toiletto, let's move now to Breitbart. If you can't kill somebody or put them in prison, well, you just suicide them, which is the next best thing to killing them, because you really did kill them and the sheeple don't know it. We have the coroner dead, and now we have the top witness to Breitbart's death vanishing. Only a day after Los Angeles coroner released Breitbart's autopsy report, a photographic technician at the coroner's office died suddenly of suspicious causes. And it goes on to report that it looks like he may have been the first person to actually see him at the scene. He died of natural causes, Bannon said. The family wants the matter put to rest. The World Net Daily is beginning to irritate me with suspicious foul play talk. After recruiting the assistance of private investigators, World Net Daily found that Lasseter, a 26-year-old witness who saw Breitbart drop dead, is no longer residing at his last known address in California. 3, Breitbart was walking down the apparent distress when he stepped to the curb and fell like a sack of potatoes, he said. He noted that Breitbart's skin color was bright red, which is not typically associated with heart attack victims. And, of course, the report goes on. He had dinner with Bill Ayers a month before he died and said he had bombshell information about Obama at communist meetings. And, of course, that footage was never released. Some mild garbage was of him endorsing some socialist. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. But we're supposed to ignore that. And it's really gained steam. My idea a few weeks ago to occupy Bilderberg this year, peacefully draw media attention to what's happening, has picked up a lot of steam. Paul Watson has an article at Infowars.com. Occupy Bilderberg gathers steam. And it goes on, Alex Jones' call for InfoWarriors to occupy Bilderberg during the upcoming meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, is gathering steam with activists heeding the call to protest the clandestine annual confab involving the globe's top power brokers. Big Facebook pages and others have been set up. Find out more at InfoWars.com, and we will see you there to peacefully have thousands there to force mainstream globalist media to cover something they have denied existed. Great job to all the activists out there using startpage.com to Google Occupy Bilderberg. Okay, let me give you now the quote of the day by former president, the late president, Harry S. Truman, who said the buck stops here. Well, he went on to say, all the president is a glorified public relations man who spends his time flattering, kissing, and kicking people to get them to do what they are supposed to do anyway. There you go. The buck does not stop with Obama and Air Force One. We're going to come back with an in-depth interview with Wayne Madsen on new Justice Department revelations of payoffs by Wall Street, Fast and Furious, dead zones in the Gulf, Air Force pilots refusing to fly, big scandals, important information, serious muckraking coming up. But first, I want to give you the speech that Ron Paul gave this Sunday at the Texas Capitol. Tomorrow night, we'll give you Rand Paul. Stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
There's one congressman in Washington whose refusal to compromise is legendary. My father, Ron Paul. Senate race, but you know there's a still ongoing presidential race in this country? Matter of fact, we're still counting the votes. Matter of fact, we're just starting to count the delegates. And there's been many times that we've been written off, but on occasion now, almost like every day, there is another state that goes our way. But it may turn out that we will be the actual winners of Iowa. Not only are we winning a lot of these delegates that were written off in the past, but we're winning a lot of other things too. Putting people in the right place, becoming chairman of the Republican Party in the various states. So the revolution is working. We have infiltrated the Republican Party, and we will convert the Republican Party to defenders of liberty. Be the Congress. But what about the overstepping of their rights in the executive branch through the issuing of executive orders? The executive order that has given supposedly authority to the president to assassinate American citizens. We need a constitutional president who will use the executive order in a proper manner to repeal all the executive orders that were misplaced. Executive order written back in 1973. Not too many people have talked about this, and they might not think it's too important. I happen to think it was very important. Unfortunately, or characteristically, maybe it was executed by a Republican president in 1973. And they established the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. Now that is a totally unconstitutional vehicle for enforcing law. And just last week, I imagine many of you saw, there was a drug bust. They don't know what they were doing. They were suspected of using something a lot safer than alcohol. Yeah! But there was was a SWAT team that went in and grabbed seven young people on the campus of UC at San Diego. And they threw them all in jail, and then after they sorted out the paperwork, they released six, and they just forgot about one person. And allowed this person to be in prison 5 days, no water, no food, and he was in critical condition, and he was in intensive care for 3 days, and he's going to survive. But then the question is, who's liable for that? Because there's a lawsuit filed, and I think a lawsuit is proper. And there should be a compensation. But I've always had a little trouble with those type of compensations being thrown back on the people. So why shouldn't it be when people are acting outside the law, outside the Constitution, those individuals who committed those acts that were illegal, why shouldn't they be personally liable for the corruption? Ago when the TSA got even more abusive, I introduced legislation along those lines. Of course, the best way to have taken care of the TSA was to vote against the establishment of the TSA to begin with, and to have voted against the Patriot Act, which gave them so much authority. But my suggestion in this legislation was that a TSA agent can do nothing that you can't do. So if you can't grope a stranger and you go to prison, if anybody at the airport gropes a stranger and he pretends he's allowed to because he belongs to the government, he should be personally liable and suffer the consequences. It is a shame that our government here in Texas didn't stand up stronger against the TSA. But let me tell you, there is another vehicle, and it's going to be used ultimately, and they're starting to use it. And that is nullification. The nullification has not been used throughout our history, but it was understood, it was assumed to be a proper procedure where the states just ignore the feds when they come in and try to enforce illegal laws. But there are two states now, I believe it's Virginia and Arizona, they have passed in a way a nullification law about not supporting the military when they come in under the National Defense Authorization Act and arrest an American citizen, that they will not participate in those arrests. Of course, there is still this danger of how many federal policemen are carrying guns now. Before the TSA, I had a number, it was close to 100,000, so it must be much bigger now. As far as I'm concerned, under the way the Constitution was written, there was not to be any national police force. There was to be a defense force defending against enemies, but not to have a national police force coming in. But 100,000 plus now who come in to enforce regulations that are technically illegal, that all should be canceled out. We say no more of this. We want to take care of our own business and get the feds out of our lives and out of here. Crisis, a lot worse in other places than Texas. And one time a few months ago, somebody asked me in the media, they said, who are you running against? And what individual are you running against? I think they wanted me to say, you know, that 100% of our problems came from Obama, and I didn't yield to their temptation to say that, even though he's responsible for an awful lot of mess we have. No, I said, the one individual that I'm running against is Keynes. Yeah. People didn't understand it, but guess what? I'm getting to debate Keynes through his apostle, Paul Krugman. And that is an important subject. A true revolution has to be ideological. Revolutions can be violent, and they can overthrow a government, and nothing really improve. An ideologically positive revolution is what is necessary, and that's what we have going in this country. It is really very positive. The groundwork has been laid, just as the groundwork was laid before our first revolution. And there was a clear understanding about what freedom was all about, what sound money was all about. And that's why they wrote a good document, the best probably in the world, although it was obviously flawed because we ended up not living up to that document. But at least there was an intellectual movement before that, as there has been now for several decades. But what I have noticed since I've been involved in this since the 1970s, what I have noticed in the last 5 years, all of a sudden the revolution has gone mainstream. The people are waking up. And they're understanding now that the Keynesian argument, the big government argument, is we get into trouble, which they recognize, and, you know, we spend too much, we borrow too much, we regulate too much, we print too much, and then we get into a predictable crisis, and what do they say? Well, we haven't spent enough, we haven't borrowed enough, we haven't printed enough money. Then they wonder why the solution hasn't come. I believe and I'm convinced by free market economics that wealth comes from work and savings. Therefore, you don't want the government to spend our resources, whether it's direct taxation or indirect through the dilution value of your money. So my suggestion in our first year will be to cut the budget in real terms by $1 trillion. I empathize a little bit with Paul Ryan because he is offering token cuts over the proposed increases over the next 10 years, and he gets nothing but grief that he's going to destroy everybody because he's made these cuts. But he hasn't really made any cuts. The budget is to go up about $10 trillion automatically over the next 10 years. So if you cut $2 trillion out of the proposed increase and you still spend an additional $8 trillion, there are no cuts whatsoever. So this is a pretense. So you have to cut. And you say, people get worried. Where are you going to cut $1 trillion? Where's the budget? What will happen? I said, well, we're not cutting the spending. We're just deciding the people can spend the $1 trillion, not the bureaucrats and the politicians. Worry, and they believe that this will make our economy weaker if the government isn't spending this money. But that is not true, because obviously the people are going to spend their money more wisely. But in order to cut, I don't believe in this idea, although we talk about it, and occasionally we have legislation that I give token support for, and that is get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, as if it's the wastefulness of the government program. No, it's the government program per se. It's the taxing program of the government per se. It's the policy that has to change. This entitlement mentality and this foreign policy has to change. That's what we're talking about. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't be able to bring people together on foreign expenditures. Left, right, center, independents, progressives, whatever. We ought to be able to come together because we're running out of money, the people are suffering, and we don't need to bleed ourselves anymore by spending more money overseas. But people will say, well, who's going to be the policeman of the world? Who's going to do this and that? And who's going to do the nation building? I would say, not the USA. We don't need this foreign policy that has been around for many, many years. It has actually gotten much worse. It's been endorsed by Republicans and Democrats. It's the foreign policy of interventionism, of trying to tell other people what to do. But just go back, all the way back to the year 2000. How do you think the Republicans did a good job on electing a president on a foreign policy that said no nation building, no policing of the world, and have a humble foreign policy? That's been a very wise foreign policy, and it hasn't been a fair trade-off. We lost 3,000 people on 9/11. We went the wrong way. The American people got immediately punished by having the Fourth Amendment repealed and having passed the Patriot Act. But how much more sacrifice did we participate in? Over 8,000 Americans have died. 42,000 Americans have come back with serious problems and injuries and amputations. Hundreds of thousands looking for help for psychological reasons, post-traumatic stress syndrome and head injuries, and they're not even getting their help. How much more of this payback can we afford? I would say that we have to wake up and understand foreign policy and understand the warning of the CIA and the Defense Department and other intellectuals saying, you know, if you get in their face and you occupy their country, why don't you think about it? What would it be like in Texas if China put their ships offshore and put their troops on our land? We would not be very happy. So this is a place where we ought to come together and join and stop spending. I don't happen to advocate cutting spending for children or adults. We've conditioned so many to be so dependent. It's a poor system. There's a much better way, but there's a way to wean ourselves off. But if we don't clean up this mess, if we don't cut real spending, if we don't restore sound money and free up the marketplace and come to a sensible agreement on foreign policy, this thing is going to end badly. The money is going to be destroyed, and that means high interest rates, higher cost of living, and everybody's going to suffer. There will be no, the more money you print to send it out to help people with medical care, the worse it will be. In the old days, they had gold and silver. Now, the more you spend, the more debt you have, the more assets, the more money they print. It's a suicidal course. It won't work, and we're approaching that end. And the government lies to us about the amount of unemployment, and they lie to us about the amount of destruction of the currency. People in the middle class are getting poorer. The country is shrinking in size as far as middle class goes. There's not been really significant economic growth since the year 2000. And people know it. They know there's something wrong. But you cannot produce wealth by the Federal Reserve creating money. And when they do it in secret, guess what? The special interests get the benefits, the one that have already been benefiting. So when the crisis hits, the Congress and the Federal Reserve rushes to bail out Wall Street and the banks and the Goldman Sachs of the world. The Fed, like I say, is a facilitator. The Fed will end when we restore liberty to this country and when we restore the rule of law and believe in our Constitution. There is no authority for a central bank nor paper money in our Constitution. But the basic thing that we have to understand is, what is personal liberty all about? We know what Jefferson thought about it. It was a God-given right to our life and our liberty, and it should be a God-given right to keep everything we earn. But 100 years ago, approximately, freedom was chopped up into two pieces, and that's and because it's divided, it gets whittled away, and that's why we're in this mess. But freedom for the individual means that you have personal liberty. You have your religious liberties, you have your intellectual liberties, but you also should have your liberty to run your personal lives as you want to run your personal lives. Endorse this very, very extreme view, and I saw a sign here today, this extreme view that you ought to have the right to drink raw milk if you want. Yeah! With this is, one side protected social liberties, the other side tried to protect economic liberties. Neither side have done a very good job. But the freedom movement is now saying, we really want to protect economic liberty. We really wanted to protect personal liberty. We need to put it back together. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, you bring people together. Not because we have the same religious views, not because we want to read the same books, and not because we want to practice our social lifestyles the same. Matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. We come together because we want to protect our freedom of choice, so we should come together for those reasons. In November, but we do know what is happening in the country and how people are waking up and how many people now endorse the principles of liberty. And like I have said so many times, that, you know, an idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by armies or by the politicians. So there is every reason to be optimistic about the way things are going, but not to be complacent. To be complacent means that we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be concerned, we wouldn't be trying to get Ted in there to help Rand, and all these things. So there's reason to be optimistic, but it's ideology that is important. The one individual can't do it. You have to have support, and I think this is what's coming. We are changing the hearts and minds of so many people. This reminds me of a story that I frequently use to demonstrate the point about two colonels that got together after the Vietnam War finally ended. I'd been in for 5 years during the 60s, and but in the early 70s, when the war ended, Colonel Harry Summers and Colonel Tu from Vietnam got together to talk about how to pick up some pieces. But our colonel wanted to get the last word in, so when he met Tu, he says, "You have to remember, Colonel, you never defeated us one time on the battlefield." And Colonel Tu paused for a minute. He says, "That is true, but it's also irrelevant." Because people who are defending their homelands, whether it's Vietnam or whether it's Afghanistan, which they've been doing for 1,000 years, the people defending their homeland have the hearts and the minds of the people. Even when they fight among themselves, they will still fight to keep out the invaders. So that is why it's a fruitless fight. But it is this way in this country, too. We may lose a battle here and there, but ultimately, we're going to win the war because we're winning the hearts and minds of the American people. And the opposition will accuse us going back, like Paul Krugman said the other day, "You want to go back 100 years. And then no, the authoritarians want to go back 1,000 years or 2,000 years. The dictators and the pharaohs and the kings have been around for a long, long time. Freedom is a new idea. It was really developed in this country. We have lost our way, but we can find our way again, and that is what is happening. Thank you very much.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And welcome back to this Tuesday, May 8th, 2012 edition. We're now about to interview investigative journalist par excellence Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. He's written for some of the largest publications in the country and has spent decades on Capitol Hill reporting on national security issues. And he formerly worked for the National Security Agency. Before that, he was in anti-submarine warfare with the Navy. Wayne Madsen is going to talk about a host of issues, including the incredible mutations and death we're seeing in the Gulf of Mexico in the aftermath of the BP spill. He's been down there to do an investigation. He's going to share some photos with us. But first, we're going to get into these pilots going crazy on commercial airlines, but also some of the Air Force's pilots saying that they're being poisoned by the oxygen mix they're being given. Wayne's got some breaking news on that. And then the biggest story, the latest on Fast and Furious, will Holder be held in contempt? Well, that doesn't matter. Why is Newsweek's Daily Beast reporting on stuff Breitbart's breaking, the Breitbart news site, not the deceased reporter, on the fact that the attorney general's firm is taking money from Wall Street tycoons or who are involved in crime in exchange for payments. I mean, this is amazing. We already knew this. This has actually been in the news last year, but why is the mainstream media reporting on it now? A lot of crazy stuff going on. We're going to discuss it all right now with Wayne Madsen. Wayne, first off, they're threatening to court-martial or drum out these Air Force pilots who are saying that people are dying from this. Won't matter soon. All the Air Force will be drone-operated under globalist control. But you've been looking into this. Tell us about the general problem. And then what your research shows is the rest of the story.
Well, the problem is that for decades, the military, in order to keep their parts in maintenance, you know, that the parts in the aircraft don't need maintenance, and they try to keep these parts around for a longer life cycle, they use an additive in the fuel that's called TPC. It's an organic compound, a phosphate, what's called an organophosphate. Basically, this is the same type of substance that's in STP that people put in their cars and their gas tanks, but in a much lower concentration than what the military uses. Obviously, the military uses the higher concentration because of the type of equipment they're using, a type of jet aircraft, which is much different than what one has in one's automobile. But the problem with TPC is that it, when heated, it can emit a vapor that has been known to cause dizziness, hypoxia, which is the lack of oxygen to the brain, and even in some cases, psychotic behavior, partial and full paralysis. So we go back and look at all these pilot complaints, both in the military and in the commercial world. And people in the Pentagon say this is probably one of the deepest secrets that the Pentagon has, that this compound, TPC, is known to cause a host of problems with pilots. Now, these two pilots with the Virginia Air National Guard are claiming that there's a problem with the oxygen system in the F-22 Raptor aircraft. Now, Lockheed Martin sold 200 of these at the whopping cost of $79 billion to the American taxpayer. So, you know, in this case, the Air Force has said, oh, there's no problem, even though they're saying there may be an unknown problem with the oxygen system. It's not unknown. It is very well known what the problem is. And it's not just aircraft. The same compound is put into the fuel of armored vehicles, tanks, Bradley fighting vehicles, even Humvees. So a lot of the cases of PTSD we see going back to the Desert Storm and more recently with Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, there have been mechanics that have been working on returned vehicles from those war theaters that have also gotten sick. And it's from this compound called TPC. There's no replacement. There's no suitable replacement for this. So the Pentagon, as they always do with their favorite contractors like Lockheed Martin and the Carlyle Group that owns United Defense that produces some of these armored vehicles, it's total cover up. They don't even want to say that the situation exists. And even this compound is used in the hydraulic fluid in elevators. So even elevator operators have known to have gotten sick from this this particular compound. But when it comes to the Pentagon stepping up and stating that this is a problem, they don't want to do it for obvious reasons. They don't want problems with their contractors. And they don't want pilots to just say, hey, we're not going to fly these aircraft anymore. You can see not just in our Air Force, but Air Forces around the world use this compound. We could see a total stand down by pilots, both military and commercial, around the world if they actually knew what the effect of this particular compound is.
Wayne, I mean, there's all sorts of cases of gases getting out of even commercial airlines and making people sick, or planes sitting on the tarmac for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, not letting them, you know, off of the aircraft. It's so archaic because I guess it's seen as special to get to fly. And so, oh, the TSA can grab your genitals and, oh, we'll make you sit on the tarmac. But I've seen cases of 12 hours or more, sometimes in over 100 degree heat, and you go to jail if you fight in a claustrophobic way to finally get off. Or a pilot flips out and does something crazy. And then I think of the sergeant who killed all the Iraqis, reportedly. They admit he was going to his fourth tour. He'd been in psychiatric care. He begged not to go. Doctors that have looked at it have said the regimen he was under, undoubtedly, he was on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They report 110,000 active duty troops, more than 10%, are on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And I'm no rocket scientist, but I've interviewed the top doctors and psychologists involved. The insert of those drugs says causes psychotic breaks, causes people to go into, you know, lunatic breakdowns. It's in the hallucinogen class. So my issue is, we've got, remember a few years ago, four members of Delta Force came home and killed their families on Fort Bragg in one weekend. Well, one of them tried, three succeeded. We've got, I saw a report today where they're building special prisons, civilian prisons for veterans. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, this is Twilight Zone. People were dangerous after one tour in World War II. You know, I mean, everybody knows, don't mess with Grandpa. He was in World War II. All it is that they've gone past that comfort zone. They don't care. They don't have impulse control. What about 4, 5, 6 tours? And then they blame these people when they go crazy and kill a bunch of people, and they're on Prozac-type drugs. Separately, the pilots say people are dying, people are crashing, something's wrong, and the attitude is we don't care. 30 years ago, they wouldn't make you do more than one tour. 30 years ago, they wouldn't have the troops use DU, knowing in their own manuals it would end up soft-killing them. What has changed in the power structure? Because we had a reckless power structure 50 years ago. But still, they weren't completely out of their minds. What has changed? I mean, I'm bringing up a lot of different issues, but I think there's a connection to everything I just said.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is now is that the administration, this one and the past one, but this one's even worse. The Obama administration is going after whistleblowers, people who bring these issues to the forefront. Now, these two Virginia Air Guard pilots were on 60 Minutes. This past Sunday talking about this. Now they're facing possible loss of their wings and maybe drummed out of the Air Force. But this issue has been known. The British Pilots Association has seen that this TCP has been a problem for its pilots. We also know, remember back to the 1999 and the Learjet 35 that was carrying Payne Stewart. That was flying from Orlando to Dallas. All of a sudden, they had some sort of failure, and they all were incapacitated, and the plane flew in a northwesterly direction until it ran out of gas and it crashed. It was thought by some experts that they also suffered some form of hypoxia, possibly as a result of using this TCP compound in the fuel. So we've got a lot of documented cases of this. But TCP has been known to be a neurotoxin going back to Prohibition when it was used in an additive to basically spike moonshine, an additive called Ginger Jake, and 30,000 people across the United States died from ingesting that particular compound. It's the same compound that is found in this fuel additive.
And I go back to the issue of going after good whistleblowers. They're going after journalists. I mean, this is like something out of a Stalinistic purge. And I do agree with you that this stuff is getting worse because they're going after whistleblowers. But my question is, what has changed in the ruling class that they don't care if the reactors melt down in Fukushima? They don't care if their kids get cancer. They don't care if the GMO is hurting them as well. They don't care if generals are breathing DU just like the enlisted people are. It's like there's a total disconnect more and more with reality, not just with the general public, but with the social engineers themselves.
Well, these people absolutely have no concern for individuals, for people or for wildlife. They just continued. They just have a philosophy that people and other living things are expendable, But when it comes to them, of course, they live a very good life behind their gated communities and while they're on their yachts and whatnot. I think it's just a total, I think it's just what we saw in France before the French Revolution. The French royal family had no idea how bad things were out in the outside the palace in Versailles, just like the Russian royal family had absolutely no clue as to how bad it was in the steppes of Russia. I think we have the same mentality here with the one percenters. They absolutely have no clue as to what the effect of their policies is.
But melting down reactors, just because they have the FDA say it's safe now to have 1,000 times, you know, this isotope or 200 and something times the other, just because they wave a magic wand doesn't make it okay. And just because they wave a magic wand and make people serve 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tours, this is going to blow back on them. It already is, just like Marie Antoinette and the let them eat cake statement. You're absolutely right. Speaking of that, BP, we now, a couple years after, have a good image of what happened. I want you to recap that. I know you spent a lot of time in the region. You just spent more time actually out in the Gulf and in the Caribbean as part of an investigation. But, you know, it turned out that BP ordered from Houston, and I'm not saying Halliburton's good either, but the point is, ordered Halliburton and the other operators, you know, three different ones there together, to dump water in, mixed in, and they said, well, this is going to explode. They said, you know what, we're going to save money. We say it's going to be okay, even though all the engineers said it's going to explode. And there was a fist fight, we now learn, on board over this, people saying you can't do this. So, again, total greed, total delusion, that if they can boost profits, they're going to get a bonus. And then just push the oil to the bottom, use millions of gallons of core exit, lie about that, fishermen out of work, make them go work, breathing the stuff. I mean, it's so sick. And now it's even in mainstream news, but you got some of your own photos of the mutations and death in the Gulf of Mexico, but they're still serving this on tables out there. Break down your investigation. We'll be showing some of these photos that you took. Tell us where you took those.
Yeah, I was down in Grand Isle, Louisiana, which is was once a huge seafood processing town. One out of every 20 shrimp now being caught in the Gulf of Mexico have these grotesque-looking tumors on them. The tar balls are still washing ashore on the beach at Grand Isle. What BP does, though, at 3 o'clock every morning during the darkness, they bring these plows out on the beach and they go down the 7 miles of beach at Grand Isle and they till the sand. So they, what they're doing is blending the tar balls in with the sand. I walk the beach and I could just tell from walking on the sand that it felt oily. They also pick up all the dead marine mammals and fish and birds that wash ashore. So while I was down there and while the mainstream media that was down there 2 years ago, they were up here yucking it up at the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner, you didn't see Brian Williams or Anderson Cooper or any of these clowns down in Grand Isle 2 years later. But the situation is now worse because the Perexit and the oil has now affected the food chain. It takes about 2 to 5 years for it to affect the food chain. Now we see the mutations in the shrimp and in the crabs and in the fish. Eyeless shrimp, these shrimp that I took pictures of with these huge tumors, and crabs born without claws, and fish with huge lesions on the side, on their sides. And so basically the seafood industry in Louisiana, which supplied most of the seafood to the rest of the country, is for all purposes dead and dying. BP is now offering settlements, including to one of the biggest seafood companies in Grand Isle, the Blanchard Seafood. They're only offering about $25 million, but this was worth much more. This is a third-generation company, third generation of Cajuns, the people who live in that area. And all BP's interested in doing is paying out the least amount of money they can. Even some of the laboratory results, they've tested some of the seafood, and places like LSU and Tulane, but BP has apparently gotten to some of these universities with, you know, grants, money. So you can't believe even some of the laboratory test results now. They're running ads up here in the North and in the Midwest saying, come on down to the Gulf, you know, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. The seafood's great. The beaches are fine. That's not the case. 2 years later, after the Deepwater Horizon, the situation is not the same. It's worse because of this, of the food chain now being affected by the corrosion in the oil.
And again, this ties in to the scientist openly saying that if Reactor 4 goes, which it looks like it may, it's leaning towards that, it's at Fukushima a year plus into this, it'll be 85 times the amount of radiation released from Chernobyl. And people are like, well, what's the big deal? Well, European countries and the UN predict or estimate around 1 million people have died since 86 from cancers and other complications from that. Folks don't know, a hydrogen bomb or a bomb, the precursor, most of its radiation is dissipated, but it's still very serious. But with reactors, this is the dirtiest form, and it's just belching this stuff coming across the winds that blow directly onto North America, and their answer at the EPA and FDA is just say, hey, the radiation's okay. It's the same thing with BP. And these guys didn't even get in trouble. And it just shows the fact that they're totally disconnected from reality. Pre-2000, in America, we never put up with the TSA and all this. We put up with that. Now they've got Army reports out, training manuals. I want to get your take on this. Admitting, yeah, we're preparing for re-education camps in America, and even use the word re-education and taking the political dissonance there and how to gag them and how to do all this stuff. I mean, it just gets more and more. I call it the twilight zoning of America.
Yeah, yeah. And the problem with the Justice Department is that they're charging this guy, Mr. Mix, for BP. He was a BP engineer with deleting some text messages and emails to his superiors where he was stating, look, there's much more oil coming out into the Gulf than what we're admitting to. And he deleted those, but who ordered him to delete those emails and text messages? So here we go. Now, in the past, they'll try to go after the low guy to try to flip him to go after the higher ups. But I've seen nothing from this Justice Department that indicates that's their strategy. It's a good prosecutorial strategy to do it, but we know that this Justice Department under Eric Holder is totally run by the oligarchs and the corporations and the vested interests. And I would be very, very surprised if we're going to see them, the Justice Department, try to flip Mr. Mix against people like Tony Hayward, who was, of course, down here saying he wanted to get his life back, when now everybody in the Gulf, their life is ruined.
Let's shift gears into the Justice Department. Is the Justice Department more corrupt now than all the other famous corrupt ones? Or is it just that we know more because of alternative journalists like yourself, Infowars.com, you know, and others out there? Because we now know that Bush was involved in gun running operations as well. Of course, it's all about the narcotics trade control. But now we learn that Obama, it was hand grenades as well, that they did know, they did lie. And then you've got John Corzine caught lying, the head of the CME group, Duffy comes out. Their own people at MF Global admit he's lying. Of course he's lying. He's caught lying. Now it's admitted he was lying. He doesn't get in trouble. And the Daily Beast of all people, that's Newsweek. It's a Newsweek article at the Daily Beast. They are reporting on what we've known for a while, that there's this law firm that has all these former Justice Department people. That's where Holder was previously, you know, where they are out of power as Democrats and they get back in power just like Republicans, that revolving door like Monsanto and the regulators, that the big Wall Street crooks just come and pay them money for their cases, and then the Justice Department drops the cases. Now, I mean, we know that's going on, but now it's in Newsweek, and I guess just like with John Corzine, it'll come out, no one will get in trouble, and that's just how it is. I mean, it's just like everything is so out in the open now that these are total crooks.
Well, I think the big difference, you know, during Watergate, of course, the media did go after people like John Mitchell. But, you know, compared to Eric Holder, John Mitchell's starting to look more like Oliver Wendell Holmes every day. But the journalists back then were a lot more aggressive. They also had people who were willing to leak out of the Justice Department. But with this current fear factor in Washington, every journalist will tell you here now that their sources are drying up left and right. My sources don't want to talk to me anymore. You got Jim Risen from the New York Times now facing a subpoena that the government kept alive after it was quashed in federal court. The Holder's Justice Department appealed it, and oral arguments begin in Richmond on May 18th. So you've got these efforts by the Justice Department to go after whistleblowers, charging with violation of everything from the Espionage Act to all kinds of other laws, and active going after journalists, wiretapping them, threatening them with subpoenas before grand juries. That's what's different today. We didn't, you know, maybe Nixon would have, he thought about going after people like the New York Times and others back then, but he never really followed through because the system, as we heard, somewhat worked back then.
Should see the media circle the wagons against Obama doing this. This is unprecedented. But instead, they're like, yeah, get him. I mean, it's fun to be part of the gang against the First Amendment. Let me ask you about this. What do you think about Breitbart's death? Now one of the coroners is dead. The key witness, the only person to see him die, has now disappeared. We know that it was going to be Bill Ayers' info he was going to release, not the stuff they later released, tying into the re-education camp stuff. I mean, what's your investigation?
I have investigated so many suspicious deaths here in Washington and elsewhere. My default reaction is not to believe anything the authorities or the medical examiners say. I've seen so many where they've covered things up, and they created this situation where people are, I think they're justifiably skeptical every time they see a spate of people, you know, dying under suspicious circumstances. And again, I like to see what independently will come out in this. I'm certainly not going to believe anything out of the LA Medical Examiner's office because they have a pretty sorry track record when it comes to investigating deaths, including Marilyn Monroe and Bobby Kennedy, going back that far.
Sure. But, I mean, for me, the telltale sign is within 2 hours. It was about actually an hour and 45 minutes. Within an hour and 45 minutes of Breitbart falling down the street and being taken to the hospital, they were saying, natural causes, nothing to see here, move along, before they even said heart attack. It was just natural causes.
Yeah.
When I see that out of the gates, that's when I get really suspicious.
Well, I mean, look at, you know, everything from Dr. Bruce Ivins up at Fort Detrick, you know, there's all these convenient suicides also. You know, the guy, he committed suicide, he was depressed, when in fact, when you check these things out, these people had no motive to commit suicide. And I like I say, I've dealt with dozens and dozens of these investigations. One is getting back to the original story, and I haven't written this yet, but I've heard it from some sources that John Wheeler, remember the former assistant to the Air Force Secretary that was found in a trash dump up in Wilmington, Delaware, on New Year's Day.
Yeah, and he was seen desperately without his shoes, you know, but in a sports jacket coming in on surveillance cameras.
Yeah, and he was acting disoriented, just like some pilots were acting disoriented after coming out of the cockpits being exposed to TCP. I've had a few people tell me that what he was getting ready to break was the TCP story. And somebody may have silenced them, because just think of the billions and billions of dollars in defense contracts that ride on this particular fuel additive. I'm still looking into that, but I have heard that from a few people on the inside.
Hey, let's go back to the anthrax, Patsy, and then finish up with the latest underwear bomb threat that they've manufactured. For those that don't remember, they had three different Patsies they said had done the anthrax. And they said it was made in a bathtub or a bucket, and it wasn't weaponized. Turned out most weaponized, U.S. government strain, miniaturized, all the rest of this stuff. And we ended up learning the name of the Israeli-connected guy who's the main suspect who'd been in and out to get it. They grab the fourth patsy. They take him to a government facility, and while in a solitary confinement area as a suspect at a mental institution, he takes medical Tylenol and kills himself.
Yeah.
So I guess they finally got a patsy that they could pin it on by killing him. I want you to comment on that, Ivins, but then I want to move forward. Because we had our listeners, Kurt Haskell and others, on the plane seeing the U.S. government get Mutala, the underwear bomber, two Christmases ago on the plane, because it later came out that he was correct that the U.S. government had done that on C-SPAN and congressional testimony, Undersecretary of State. Now they don't even have a patsy. They just say, we found some underwear with a firecracker. We saved you. More intrusive screenings coming. Give your money to Shirt Off and the scanner company. We don't know where he is or what's going on, but there's a guy out there. Thank God the CIA saved us. I mean, this is getting so ridiculous.
Well, they say they uncovered a plot in Yemen and the FBI is investigating. When it comes to the CIA and FBI, I don't think we've seen a comedy team like that since Abinello and Laurel and Hardy. This just defies logic. Of course, what are we going to see now? All the perverts that work for TSA at the airports are going to now go through people's underwear. You're going to have to take your underwear off at the airport. How many more cases of these perverts groping people and doing weird stuff are we going to see as a result of? I don't believe the story, by the way. I think they're, every time we hear Al-Qaeda, first, last week we're told Al-Qaeda was out of business for all intents and purposes, and now we're told no, they're producing these more high-tech means to commit terrorist attacks. I mean, this is the inmates are really truly running the asylum here.
Well, never before has it been so transparent. The war on terror is a fraud, where they say Al-Qaeda has pretty much been defeated, but the TSA is going to be on checkpoints on the highways everywhere, and the Army is going to be at the Austin Kite Festival. And we're going to grope you everywhere because you're the new domestic enemy. And it's basically anybody politically involved. I mean, this is clear tyranny. Why do you think they're accelerating the tyrannical takeover? I mean, clearly it's because of the engineered collapse. And that's the final question I have for you. What do you think of what's happening over in Europe? Because a socialist who promises more bailouts, that's exactly what the bankers want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we see what happened in France with Francois Hollande. He's already backpedaling now on these anti-austerity measures he was talking about during the campaign. But what's more interesting is what's happening in Greece, where the left party, where the guy is an admirer of Hugo Chavez, says we're going to tear up this austerity agreement with the bankers. And I think we're going to see more and more like that. We saw Italian local elections. Same thing, the left coming on very strong. Berlusconi's party is basically gone. You've got this technocrat banker prime minister who sees the writing on the wall. When Italy has national elections, we could see somebody just like in Greece come.
Look at Monti. I mean, the ECB just installed Monti. I mean, that's world government by Goldman Sachs right there.
Yeah, and also the guy in Greece was installed by the bankers. I think this is their fear. And when we see the Army coming out with manuals about grabbing troublemakers and putting them in re-education camps and this type of thing, I think that, the mere fact we didn't see anybody come out and say that's not true, I think they want this fear to be instilled in the American people. But I also think that people are just going to have to start realizing that the government, like when I was in Grand Isle, those Cajuns down there, they've had it with the federal government. There's even talk about seceding from the rest of the country. You know, the people speak a patois of French, and like one person told me that the British threw us out of Acadia in Canada centuries ago, and brought us here, and we'll be damned if they're going to throw us out of our homeland again. So people are getting justifiably irritated at all these machinations that are going on.
It's really incredible, and undoubtedly, things get more and more crazy by the day. Imagine how wild it's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, Wayne. Where do you expect to see us then?
Well, 2 years from now, I'll tell you, I figure, you know, from looking at the political tea leaves here, that barring some catastrophe, I think we're going to be seeing another 4 years of Obama. Romney, it was interesting that Rick Santorum endorsed him in a late night email. Can you imagine? Narcissism in a late night email that obviously not many people read. Ron Paul winning the delegates in Maine and Nevada. I think Romney's got to be the most unpopular Republican candidate in recent history.
Well, look at how his own Bain Capital has given double to Obama what they've given to Romney. I mean, I think there's a good chance Romney is just like Bob Dole, an admitted ringer. Yeah. I mean, is this a total Don King boxing match, like where we had the two cousins, both skull and bones, John Kerry, George W. Bush, 04?
Yeah. And look, even George Soros said, look, Romney, Obama, they're about the same. So this is what you get from the 1%. I think Romney's just in there as a placeholder to give us the illusion we have a choice. We very rarely had a choice in recent elections. This is just another illusion being put over on us by the one percenters out there.
Well, almost everybody I talk to, a wide field of experts. You know, I see myself as an expert, but I like to talk to other people and get their perspective. Anybody who's actually done research knows it's good to have that counsel of people you talk to. But almost everyone I talk to thinks Obama is going to be reelected for a constellation of reasons. But list some of those. I mean, is it just because Romney is a ringer? Is it because he can't fire up the conservative base because he is basically a Republican version of banker man Obama? Or is it election fraud? What is it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's the power of the incumbency. It's really hard to knock off an incumbent president. I think it was Lyndon Johnson once said that every time Air Force One touched down in a certain airport, that was worth 250,000 votes. So the power of the incumbency is something you can never underestimate. And the economy is terrible right now, and we see a lot of problems. But I think people will probably stick with Obama because now he's starting to sound like the Obama from 08, not the corporate-run Obama. So people are going to be suckered in on this guy once again. And look at the alternative, Mr. Bain Capital, that shut down factories and moved jobs out of the country.
So either way, the globalists win unless we just take back our local governments, and that's starting to happen. Wayne Madsen, WayneMadsenReport.com. Thank you for spending time with us.
Good to be with you, Alex.
Thank you. There goes Wayne Madsen. Again, WayneMadsenReport.com. Our sites are Infowars.com and, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.net, as well as PrisonPlanet.com. And we put a lot of time and energy into bringing you this information. We couldn't do any of this without you. We have a lot of enemies who fight behind the scenes to try to derail us and stop us, but thanks to your support and your prayers, we're able to continue. And we've got a lot of great entries for the Infowars Nightly News Reporter Contest to go through. Still more of those being published each day. Hundreds more to post. We're over 600, 700 good entries. And we're going to be playing some of those on the air in the next month or so. I'll try to pick a winner for both of those slots, one male reporter, one female reporter. And you can also, if you're watching this out on the web and like the information you're seeing or just support the First Amendment and appreciate the courage of my guest and crew, then think about subscribing. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Get a yearly membership and get a big discount on that. Or do the 15-day free trial that we have running in perpetuity right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can also get there by going to InfoWarsNews.com. And the next few weeks, I'm going to be announcing the new social network that is now up and running online, but I won't tell you the URL of it. You can simply go to InfoWars.com, sign up for the free newsletter, the InfoWars Insider, there on the right-hand side, and we'll send you an email out where you can go beta test it. I don't want to announce it to the full audience while we're still beta testing and things and tweaking the servers, but a great way to get people organized locally to take action against tyranny. Great job to the crew. Great job to all the researchers out there that help us with information and to all the other alternative media challenging the corporate prostitute media. Until tomorrow night, I'm Alex Jones signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar.